You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 113.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at fools. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome. It's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast World Wide Web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark, blah, 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 Johnson. This week's spoiler film review will cover Air, A History of the Future by G. Willow Wilson and M.K. Perker. And as usual, this will be a short show. I'm tired. It's late. It's been a rather long weekend. And someone's streaming Boy Meets World and DS9 Season 6, so you can't go wrong with that. And hopefully their friends' streaming will be back up soon, in a few hours. So, before we talk about Vertigo Comics and what I just bought... Damn it, I spent a lot of money the past 2 days. And there's more to spend. What was I going to say? Yeah, I saw Captain America this weekend, and I must say, it was good. I don't have much experience reading Captain America. I've read them in like crossovers and event books, and I like when I read them there. But I can never get into like reading the Captain America title or the Avengers if it's not an event or something. So, but the movie, unfortunately, I saw it in 3D. But unlike Thor, this 3D didn't really matter, but it was clearer. So, there you go. But this Captain America was a bit disappointing. There will be no spoilers, by the way. But I was expecting or hoping more of a Captain America meets Captain America in a Saving Private Ryan style. I think that would have been badass. It might not have not. See, I don't think it would have gone. Well, it was okay. It may, if they did it like that, it may or may not have gone with the thing they're trying to do for the Avengers movie. All the stylistic, the way it's directed and filmed. But I think it would have worked if it was more gritty and realistic. I wouldn't have minded. I think people would have been in awe, but with very little superhero stuff. But they didn't go that way, unfortunately. But I think it could have worked because it like 99% of the movie takes place in the past, except for the beginning and end. Yeah, they could have done that, and then, like, when they went to the present, they could have switched it, like, the cameras, the filtering, the directing, all that could have been the normal Marvel Universe, but other than that, they should have filmed it like a real war story. So I was disappointed they didn't go that route. The route they went was the route they went was the, like, what was the movie called? Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow or something with Angelina Jolie. And the freakish... I think it has... What's his name? Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow freak me out. Androgynous people and probably aliens freak me out. But anyway. So I've actually not seen that movie. Not more than a few minutes of it anyway. Yeah, the way it was shot, it reminded me very much of Sky Captain. I don't think it was as, I don't want to say bad, stylistic as Sky Captain. But, you know, leaning towards that route. It seemed a bit fantastical. I wanted it to be a war movie. Just happened to have a guy, well, not with a cape, but with a shield. But I thought everyone did a good job. I like the new girl. I'm gonna keep an eye out on her. She's one to watch. She's hot. And she's my age. I always say that because it's like, well, maybe when I'm rich and famous, I'll have a chance of hooking up with them. Because they're about the same age. Probably never gonna happen. What's his name? Chris Evans? I want to say Chris Pine. Chris Pine's Kirk. No, Chris Evans did a very good job. I don't know how they did that, but they did make him look like a 98-pound weakling, and it made everyone around him seem like a giant. I want to know how they do that. I'm really interested in that behind the film crap. Tommy Lee Jones, actually, while not in it, I think he stole the show, and he did a great job. He might have been my favorite character. And then another good job was Hugo Weaving. Good job as the Red Skull. Another thing I was disappointed on is when Cap becomes Cap, they kind of gloss over his battles, and it sucks. You might have seen it in the trailer where he busts open the door with his shield and he's like pew-pewing around, or the Howling Commandos around him. That's kind of how it goes. Like, they gloss over the battle. I mean, I can understand you can't do however many battles he had. That would be ridiculous, but I kind of wanted to see more, because you see a battle in the beginning when he's like, he's Cap, but it's like his first battle, and you don't really see any in the ending, in the middle, and then in the end, you see, where would I rank it? Definitely Iron Man is still the best Marvel movie, but, I think Thor. See, I would need to watch, at least for the summer, I would need to watch both Thor and Captain America again, and in 2D. But I would think Thor is a little better, I want to say. Or a little, like half a star better. Slightly better. That's not to say Captain America wasn't good. I really think the first, hour of Captain America is really solid before he has his powers, when he's training. And I think that part is really solid. And then when he gets his powers, it kind of goes, it doesn't go downhill. It just takes a different tone. And in a way, it makes sense, because he is a bigger person. He's taller and bigger and faster and stronger. But and so they might have... And the way it's shot, though, everything... Well, it's weird. At that point in the movie, everything starts to feel more fantastical. Not just him, like the entire world. Whereas Thor is pretty consistent throughout. Thor probably had more of an emotional arc than Steve Rogers. You know, that's why I think, I would think Thor is a slightly better movie. But again, I need to see it. The 3D was shit. Everything got way dark. So I would say Thor, slightly better than Captain America. But Captain America, still good, still worth the money, and... I probably don't have to tell you this, but stay until the end of the credits. It's a very long wait. My bladder almost exploded. And then you get to see the Avengers teaser trailer. It's really short, and it's really bad. This is a bad trailer, but it's like a teaser quick cut. So you're like, what's that? Whoa. Quick cut that guy. Who's that? What's that? So, I'd really like to see a proper trailer, because I'm not one of those nerds when I'm be like, well, let me get right here, and at 1 point one frame, you see this, and then let me hit pause again. So, but yeah, overall, it's good. So I suggest everyone go watch it. And enough of that. There's no news this week after the thing that the beast that was San Diego Comic-Con. So let's get down to it.
And now it's time for the rundown.
So this week's spoiler-filled review, I'm going to talk about Air, History of the Future by G. Willow Wilson and M.K. Perker. And I'm going to talk about Air in general. And I have no idea how to summarize this book. And I don't know if I wanted to discuss or like talk about brush upon it now, but it's hard for me to say what happens in this book because nothing really happens. It's very disappointing. It makes sense. It makes sense just because the book got canceled. Not that it makes sense story wise. There was a lack of anything happening in this book. I saw a review on Amazon. And a guy said it was dull. I kind of agree with him. And he said the whole series was dull. I don't agree with that. But this trade, yeah, it's very rough. Of course, he still gave it a 3 stars, whereas I get called dull and I get a 1 star. People hate me. Huh? I'm a very polarizing figure for someone people don't know. It's very weird. You either love me or you hate me. I don't get it. It's weird. People, I read their reviews like, oh, they give them like 2 or 3 stars. They give me fucking a 1. I don't know. They really hate me. Maybe they listen to the show. Fans of the Nut Show. So what was I going to say? So enough about that. Okay, so the summary. Now, okay, there is somewhat of a plot. Blythe has to take 3 tests. To, I guess, get her Hyperprax pilot license. So, and it turns out her landlady and her gay best friend are both hyperpraxes. I swear I'm saying that wrong. And no one saw that coming. So she takes them and she goes like find lost luggage, which is a manuscript about her life and then what's to come. And then she helps this pilot who crash lands in something like Puget Sound, I think. And who was a missing World War II pilot. And then she tries to fly around the world. Yeah, it sounds, yeah, really. And she runs into the guy who was scarred and who was seen all the way back in the first book. It turns out he's a Hyperpraxis. That's why he escaped. And they battle it out. A la the Professor X and Shadow King on the X-Men in the 90s. It's very similar. It's on Netflix instance, so go watch it. And then at the end, Fletcher, as her gay best friend, dies. And her and Zion get married, and yeah, she saves the day. And the end. Really, the end. So, yeah. That's pretty much the last trade of Air. Oh, also, in the beginning, there is a lot of info dumping between the hot French woman to Blythe and, I guess, Amelia. And that's probably had to do with the fact that Air was cut short. You see, this trade probably wasn't meant to happen till, like, I don't know how long Willow had it planned, but more than 4 trades. Because there was no build-up to Mrs. B and Fletcher being hyperpraxis. So when I read that, I was just like, oh, that makes no sense. And that really came out of left field. Now, because of the lack of build-up, there's just a lack of tension in this book. There's a bad guy in the last issue or two. But there's no, like, bad guy. Like, in Preacher, they reached a point where you got the Grail on them and Star. And you always knew, and then Star had a lot of trades he was in, and he fucked him over here and there. But he was all the way to, he made it all the way to the end. You knew eventually it'd have to do with Star and the rest of the Grail. Whereas here, I thought that dude died. I don't even know his name. I thought he died. You haven't seen him. Then he comes back and you're like, oh, okay. Because, I don't know, it's hard to say. When did Blythe get her, like, ability, like, to use her abilities fine? It seems she, I know she did a little training a few trades ago, but it wasn't enough to justify, like, how, what she's doing now. She seems to be fine now. It's really weird. It's like, I swear I remember last trade where she was still struggling with her powers, and then suddenly, boom. She's mastered it. And then, you know, Zion's there doing something. But her friends are there doing nothing. Kind of moral support, but kind of not, because even though they have the ability, yeah, I don't think they once use or show any signs of it in here. Now, if Willow had, you know, more than it was before the premature cancellation, I'm sure she would have worked on those characters more. So reading this, this last trade is very dull and disappointing. And it's like, I was just going through the motions. I kind of want to read, well, I do want to finish off the Exterminators, but that had one or two trades more, and I want to see if the same thing happens there as in here. Although I don't think so. But here, I really wish there was a climax or a crescendo or resolve nothing. It didn't resolve anything because Blythe mastered her powers somewhere, like between, I guess, trades 3 and 4. She mastered her feelings for Zion, like, I think the last trade also. The bad guy was supposedly killed in trade 1, and we haven't seen him since. There's nothing, you don't really... There's not enough time to delve into Amelia's past, what the French woman's really after, or Interpol's the whole thing. So, yeah. I mean, it wasn't until Blythe tried to do the trip around the world that eventually the bad guy came out of nowhere, because there was nothing chasing her. So, yeah, it's very, very disappointing. So, like I said, I'm cutting this show short. I think I'm gonna, on the Mark Critic score, I'm gonna give it a 2. Well, I guess that's what 2 means, Because nothing actually happened in this trade, or there was like a no lack of build up. Now, overall for this series, I think it's better than that. I think the series wasn't that bad. And it was good at times, but the fact that it really got cancelled, I do want to have Willow back on. I don't know if she can with the new baby. I want to see what she would have done. Maybe I'll email her, and then like 8 months from now, I get a response. And then if she's listening, I'm just kidding, but I mean every word. So, yeah. I think that's like the major thing. Cause what do you? Oh, see, I want to ask her like what she would have done, even though it got canceled. I can't think of. There's plenty of stuff. I think Madame Xanadu. I don't know if that got an ending. I doubt it. But the same thing. I think she just. I think they just wrote the trade and it was gone. Is that better? Is it better to just, like, say this trade, I assume this trade would have been completely different, and then it just ended in the middle of. In one way, that's annoying. But then, in this way, I mean, it kind of hurts, too. Because everything's rushed, and there's not, whatever. At least with the other way, you'll be like, you can just pretend, like, something happened. Or maybe something did happen. Like, she died or something. Willow died. Kind of like Robert Jordan. It just ended. You're like, oh, there's not going to be any more? Nadu died. Oh, we'll just go with George R. R. Martin series. There's not going to be any more. Nadu died. And you go, oh, man, that would have been great to see what happens. And you just use your imagination, you know, in that way. But yeah, so having interviewed Willow, met her and read her bio, I probably do understand the series a little more than, a little better than most people. She writes what she knows. By that, I mean she writes about two people falling in love that come from completely different worlds, a la white person and Muslim person. Because that's essentially her life and what she's been through. And while it makes for good romance, unlike her bio, and nothing really happened in this trade. I can't believe, I'm very disappointed she's married. She's hot. She should go by, she really should go by. I'm kind of smitten with her. She really should go by her first name. It makes more sense. She's very regal. It's like regal. Eh? No, anyways. I don't know. It's a shame she didn't have more time, but you know what? What is it? Time is but a door. No. What's that quote go? Time is but a window. Death is but a door now. Oh, whatever. I'm going to have to Google the back. The Ghostbusters 2 quote. So, yeah, it sucks. I'm pretty sure she doesn't. I hope she doesn't listen. I'm going to see if I can interview her again. Although I doubt it. Well, we'll see. So, I'm hard-pressed to recommend this series to people with its premature cancellation. If you want to buy it from me, that would be phenomenal. Like $20, I'll sell it to you. All four trades. Plus shipping. But I don't know, because it's hard to recommend something, especially when the ending's so lackluster. But then it got cut short, and then I don't know. I think I recommended it to Anthony Del Call from Kill Shakespeare. I hope he's not upset. He's like, that son of a bitch. Alright, well, I gotta do the dishes now and pay my bills. So thanks for listening, everybody. As always, I appreciate the feedback on iTunes. You can support the show by buying my DRM-free ebook, Catalyst, available everywhere. Next week's pick will be one step closer to finishing Fables in Fables, War and Pieces. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can email me at vertigocast@gmail.com. You can go to thecomicforums.com to see what's coming up. Visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. I'm also part of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check that out at comicspodcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.